anyone here today on behalf of Mr. Ross? Seeing no one, Mr. Lopez, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. The sole issue before the court today is whether under the State Tort Claims Act's detention of goods exception, any law enforcement officer can mean corrections officer. If the answer is yes, then the state's sovereign immunity is preserved in this case, and Mr. Rouse's claim is barred. The district court conclusively held that yes, law enforcement officer can mean corrections officer for purposes of the exception, and there are two primary reasons why this court should affirm that decision.
Before you get to that, let me ask you, are we talking about a temporary deprivation of property, or are we talking about destruction of property or complete loss of the property?
He's alleged that it was negligently disposed of. I don't know beyond that. I don't know that the record specifies whether it was destroyed or not. He just alleges that he didn't get it back.
Okay. As you go through your argument, I'm having a little trouble fitting a total destruction or disposition into the word detention.
If you look at the COSAC case, which was cited by the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court in Ali, which is our second primary merits argument, that case specifies that under the Federal Tort Claims Act's detention of goods exception, negligent storage, and I believe it even goes so far as to say resulting in damage, would be covered by the exception. So I think under whether it's a negligent storage, whether it's a destruction issue or some other disposition issue, I think any of those situations should come under the breadth of detention.
Talking about guns here?
The contraband that was negligently lost?
Yes.
No. Not that I'm aware of from the record. I believe he has some pictures that he attached to his initial complaint. The contraband is not alleged. I'm sorry, I shouldn't characterize it as contraband. The property of his that he alleges to have been negligently disposed of, I don't understand from this record to have included contraband such as guns. That would obviously be a different defect in his claim.
It was in the nature of personal property.
Yes.
Projects.
Yes.
Photos.
Books.
Books, crafts,
headset,
things of that nature.
Things like that. Personal property. So the district court.
Before we move on,
yes.
If the State Torts Act does not apply here, what remedy would an inmate have to try to recover property that was improperly taken from them and not returned?
He wouldn't if the exception applies. Now, Justice Frydenberg, let me answer your question with I think a different hypothetical that illustrates the point where if a corrections officer engaged in misconduct or something and property was lost as a result, he would have a remedy. Let's say instead of it being a negligent disposition of the property as a result of an otherwise lawful cell search, let's say instead a corrections officer stole it from him. That would be an act that would be beyond the course and scope of the corrections officer's official duties, and so the Tort Claims Act and all of its exceptions would not apply, I'm sorry. The defendant would not be the state with all of the sovereign immunity protections that we have under the STCA. Instead, it would be the corrections officer in their individual capacity. So
under your theory, the state cannot be negligently responsible for destruction of this property if it was mistakenly done?
Not if corrections officer can be included under law enforcement officer under the detention of goods exception. And that is exactly what the U.S. Supreme Court in Ali said is the case.
Is there a difference between federal corrections officers and state correctional officers?
I don't think there would be any substantive difference between the two that would result in the application being different. Otherwise, I don't think the government would have represented to the U.S. Supreme Court that the Nebraska State Tort Claims Act, along with a number of other analogous state tort claims acts in other states with the same detention of goods exception, served as an example in support of their argument that federal corrections officers could be included within any other law enforcement officer.
That was an argument.
And it was granted. The court adopted that that argument and decided that law enforcement officers under the FTUA.
I'm sorry, I meant with respect to, it was argument with respect to including Nebraska as an example.
Yes, Justice Miller-Lerman.
That was in the solicitor's brief.
Yes, which you have a citation to in our brief.
So does this mean that if someone who is sentenced to prison shows up with his Rolex watch and the state takes custody of it, and at the end of his term, nobody can find the Rolex watch, the prisoner now released is just out of luck?
As I understand Ali, that would be a very difficult but legally proper outcome of the way that the detention of goods exception is currently drafted. And given that our STCA is patterned after the federal FTCA, and you've stated in Johnson that we should look to federal guidance, there is no better guidance than what is a remarkably analogous case in terms of it being a similar sort of prisoner property detention resulting in loss.
But it would be persuasive authority, but you're not arguing that it's binding.
Not controlling. It is not binding. This court is the final arbiter of what Nebraska law is.
If the property here hasn't been disposed of, and we don't really know from the record,
not
correct?
Not from the record, we don't know.
If it hasn't been disposed of, does Mr. Ross have a Rip-Levin action?
I haven't researched that, Justice Stacey. I don't know whether the question would be whether the Rip-Levin action would relate to something arising out of the detention of goods. You've said repeatedly that it doesn't simply need to, the unlawful act alleged can be anything arising out of the specific tort that's mentioned in an exception to the State Tort Claims Act. It frequently comes up in the battery exception.
Is a Rip-Levin case a tort case?
Well, I don't think so. I would need to research whether Rip-Levin would apply to this or not. I don't know whether that would be his remedy. He hasn't brought a Rip-Levin action. He instead brought a tort claim. So he has to rise or fall on whether the detention of goods exception applies to bar the claim. Under both Ali, and we've discussed Ali somewhat, even if Ali did not exist, I think under the plain and ordinary meaning of the relevant statutory terms here, he would still be out of luck.
Then we return to my question about what does detention mean? Detention sounds like, well, I'm going to keep it for a while. Doesn't sound like I'm going to throw it away, I'm going to sell it, I'm going to dispose of it. How do you get those into detention? Or are you not contending that we're even to that stage yet?
I don't think you would need, well, I think it's plain and ordinary, and admittedly, the detention term was not one that we specifically briefed on. We briefed on whether law enforcement, his primary claim, and the primary question, as I understood it in the case, is whether law enforcement officer under the exception can include corrections officer. Detention, particularly when you read the federal authority, has never really been the main event in terms of whether the exception would apply. I think under the plain and ordinary meaning of detention, though, detaining one's goods, one's personal property, while a cell search is being conducted would, I think, very clearly fit within the scope of the definition of detention.
Then when the search is over, when his time as a prisoner is over, is it still being detained?
Sure. I don't know why it wouldn't be. I mean, for purposes of the tort claim, I don't know why the law enforcement officer's acquisition of that property and holding it wouldn't qualify as a detention.
What's the significance of, there's two parts. You've talked about the detention of goods exception, but 81.82192 first says, arising with respect to the assessment or collection of any tax or fee. Mm-hmm. Can we read anything about the meaning of detention from the first part of the statutory subsection with which it is grouped?
And Justice Papik, that's exactly what the petitioner in the Ali case argued, which was that his argument was that this pertains to tax assessment situations and that you have to read goods and law enforcement officer for that matter to either mean goods that are being taxed, or a law enforcement officer in the context of being an excise officer.
So in Ali, four out of the five members of the court said this statute pertains to customs and borders and so forth.
Right, and the other five did not. So if I can finish the answer.
You may.
I am arguing for precedent from a majority, if divided, U.S. Supreme Court. To conclude on Papik's question, because I haven't lost sight of it, the primary response to that is because goods and law enforcement officer were disjunctive from the remainder of the case, any other law enforcement officer and goods would not, and actually goods was not what they visited their reasoning on. The law enforcement officer piece was the primary issue in the case. But the court said that the argument there that it would only apply in the tax context is facially inconsistent with the statute's language, that any other law enforcement officer suggests a broad meaning, and that Congress could not have been more clear, or could not have chosen a more all-encompassing phrase to cover federal corrections officers in the detention of goods context.
Were they referring to any other law enforcement in the last phrase of the U.S. Code?
I'm sorry, Justice Miller-Lerman, I have the statute in front of me. Which phrase?
I'm looking at 28 U.S.C. 2680, and mm-hmm. then any law, pardon me, in the first sentence there is any other law enforcement officer, but in the last phrase it's any other law enforcement officer.
Right.
So what does it help? Which
one
works?
If that's where the court's attention goes, our argument is even stronger because.
Is not the same as Nebraska.
No, in fact, ours is broader. If you look at the law enforcement phrase of our statute, it says any law enforcement officer. It doesn't have the additional categories of customs, of any officer of customs or excise, or any other law enforcement officer. And this
we
was,
have just one any officer.
Exactly, and that's even broader. And so the part of the dispute in Ali was whether because of by any officer of customs or excise, the then any other law enforcement officer phrase was narrowed by those specific categories. And the court specifically grappled with the eustudem generis statutory canon of statutory construction.
Well, there's a whole parade of statutory
right.
Latin in this opinion.
Exactly.
Okay.
But because it was disjunctive, it wouldn't apply. Now then look back at our statute and it says by any law enforcement officer. It doesn't even have the specific categories preceding it. So. Our argument is even stronger on that note because we don't have we don't have the more specific categories preceding law enforcement officer. We simply have any. That's even broader. If there are no other questions, I would ask the court to affirm. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That takes us to the